I want you to do something with me this morning. Let's get right back into the Word. I want you to do a memory verse with us. Clark, have you got that in there for me already? Yeah. Let's throw that up on the screen. This is our theme verse for today, and I want you to say it with me. And we're going to kind of work on memorizing this verse together. This is kind of the heart and soul of what we're going to be about today. So just read it with me once, would you? Let's read together. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Okay? Let's do it again. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Really simple. It's actually for memorizing. It's a great verse because you remember it's the command you're given. It's why you're given the command, the example that you received in Christ, and then the ultimate thing of bringing praise to God. So fairly easy. I want you to keep that in mind. We're going to come back to it a little bit later. I know that while I've been gone, Pastor Paula launched with you a series focusing on verses that talk about one another. And we're going to continue that spirit today. We're going to talk a little bit about acceptance, this idea of what does it mean to accept one another in a way that really brings glory and honor to God. And I wanted to start with that memory verse because I'm going to do a lot of just kind of chatting with you. It's kind of good to be back with you today. And at the end, I don't want anybody to say, well, that was kind of interesting. He gave us a little report on Brazil, but I was kind of looking forward to a sermon. This is the sermon. This is the Word of God. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Now, before I get too far this morning, let me go back and do a few things. I need to say thank you to you all. Let's start there. Whenever the pastor is out, and I don't want to shock anybody by actually calling attention to it, but I've actually been out 8 weeks. 3 weeks we were on family vacation, and then 5 weeks with the mission trip and the sabbatical. So I haven't been in the pulpit since May 31st. I was supposed to have been here on June 20th or 21st, whatever it was, and, well, the curse of Southwest Airlines struck again. That's a whole other story. But my after sitting for hours and hours and hours in an airport, I did not fly home to preach to you. It has been that long. And I want you to know, I want to reassure you as a church family that it was of great benefit, not only to me. Let's go back to the mission trip piece. The church family that is worshiping there right now in that building that was built by people in this room with money from other people in this room, your tithes and offerings, thank you for helping. Your prayers that undergirded that work. And the pastor of that congregation is a joy. And I couldn't be happier that we left them with a church building in which to worship. The excitement level remains extremely high there. But it was also very beneficial for me and for my work as your pastor and leader of this flock. I want to thank not only the church family in general, but I obviously owe a great debt to our elders, to our deacons who cover so much of the work, my staff, people who make this happen. And then going back a few years, really, to finance and personnel teams who years ago said to the church, we need to build this into our system. And I want to say I've tried to give you guys a good value back for your dollar. I've been your pastor 24 years. I'm supposed to get a sabbatical every 7. This is my first. So you really got your money's worth. All it took was 24 years to get the 7-year sabbatical. So that was, really good. But it was interesting when I would tell people and when we began posting things on Facebook, the inevitable happens. There are people who write and tell you how grateful they are for their church that does the same thing, and they're praying for you and they're blessing you. And there are brothers and sisters who write to you privately on email and say, I just so wish somebody could raise this subject, because if I bring it up at my church, it appears self-serving. You're so fortunate to have a church family, and I just write that understands that, and I just write back and say, yes, I'm fortunate to pastor one of the most wonderful churches in the world. So I just am grateful for the opportunity that you gave me, and I was glad to have my daughter Callie along with me for all of that time that we shared. However, something happened yesterday that kind of gave me some insight into what I needed to do today in this time. I was at Mary Beth's family reunion. always meets on this Saturday, the first Saturday of August. And a lot of them, they're descended from brethren, pastors, and preachers. So a lot of very devoted Christians in the church family. And one of my favorites is her niece, Kim, who is an adult. She's she's 50 years old, so she's an adult. She knows about church life, and a lover of Jesus. And so I'm sitting there, and she said, "Well, did you enjoy your sabbatical?" And I said, "Well, I did." I said, "I want to be careful about using the word enjoy, because you understand that, I mean, it had its moments of challenge and places where I felt chastened, and there was a lot of work involved." And she paused, and she, "What? I thought a sabbatical was like a Sabbath. It's like you weren't just resting the whole time?" And I said, "Well, no, oddly enough, that's not really, what a sabbatical is about. And I suppose if you don't work in education, if you weren't paying close attention in college when your professors talked about taking a sabbatical, most college professors, what they do on a sabbatical is they take the courses they've been teaching for the past 6 years. They figure out a way to write a book or a paper about it. They develop new classes to teach when they come back, and this to get ready for the next stage of life. For ministers, the idea behind it is that you are so overwhelmed. As we say, the worst part of being on a church staff is that Sunday comes every 7 days. And while that's a joy to be able to serve and teach and preach, it's also like, you never have longer than a 7-day cycle unless you're one of those people who's really good at breaking out of that mold. And some people are very good at that kind of thing, to be able to do medium and long range planning while doing the short term work. But most folks, it's the immediate, as was famously written about by Charles Hummel, the tyranny of the urgent. You know what must happen this week. And if that's all you ever think about is 7 days out, that will not be healthy for the long term of your own life, of your church family's life. So I'm grateful, again, that you guys have affirmed that when we put that into the personnel policy. Pastor Clark got to go and enjoy that a few years ago in Brazil, you'll remember, and that made a great difference for him. And I was looking forward to this. And in particular, I had two areas that I was going to focus on in this sabbatical. And that is, one was to look at the merger situation that we have been involved in now for almost a year for me. Last August, when I first met Pastor David and we opened the conversation, the leaders found out in October, November, we started chatting. We moved here January 1st, as you all remember. So this has been a bit of a process, but by the time you add that on top of a church schedule that comes around every 7 days, and then MET meetings, and then the committee meetings, and then just the stuff of settling in a new location, I found myself constantly saying, I just need a couple of weeks to sit down and process, think more than I can just think under pressure in 15 minutes, but think about it hard for a couple days, walk away from it, come back, and be able to get insight and put pieces together, what we call in the academic world synthesis, how you synthesize all the different things you read and say, what is all that boiled down to for me? So that's what I've been doing, and I know that I shot my own self in the foot a little bit. Some of y'all really enjoyed those pictures from what we call paradise down in Brazil on Facebook. You saw us in the city of Fortaleza on the beach, and it just looked like, wow, Pastor Eddie must really, some of y'all thought I'd be coming in here with a great suntan, maybe new hair, I don't know what you thought. But that was mostly my lunchtime and my walk time to get out of the study room. I spent a lot of time praying for you, praying for us, asking God for wisdom and insight and study. And so here's the part that freaks out people who are not big on studying, which that's kind of, that's one of my deals. Okay, so I read 6 books, and then I wrote a summary of each book, and then I wrote a summary of what I learned out of each book. And for those of you who know, we have an affiliation with Willow Creek. I listened to 30 Willow Creek leadership CDs, about an hour and a half each, and then I would write a synthesis of notes and learnings from each of those. And then I had a DVD copy of an entire leadership summit, a three-day conference, and watched the entire conference and took notes and wrote a summary for myself and learnings and tried to figure out how all those things were speaking to where we are. What is God wanting to say? And that's on top of reading the Gospel of Matthew. And, you know, whenever you really take the time to slow down and read the Bible in depth, you don't come away disappointed. You don't come away empty-handed. You don't come away empty-minded. You don't come away empty-hearted. God speaks through His Word. So it was quite the experience to be away and do that. So it was not just vacation. It was a sabbatical. Now, let me return to the merger conversation just a minute, because as I said, we've been in this now for a year for some of us, 10 months for others, more like 8 months since January 1st for others. That time for thinking, that time for reflecting. I hope you've continued to have more time to do that. Some of you have had time for more experiences together. Those of you who helped teach together in Vacation Bible School, God bless you all, and God bless the folks at First Gaithersburg who worked with us, the folks who went on the youth camp together, the two congregations, the two youth groups working together, and our leadership teams working together. Yesterday at our property in Olney, the farmhouse, there was a deacon just kind of mingling and merging and getting to know each other type of experience. And so thanks to those of you who prepared the house and those of you who took the time to go out and spend 4 or 5 hours together. And I just want to say to the church family, if you were not a part of that, the folks from First Gaithersburg have just commented again and again how beautiful the place was. To the men and folks who helped take care of the facility, thank you for that. I say men because that's mostly the guy. It's the guys who do that. It's the small group with Wayne and Gary and Steve and just the whole gang of that bunch. Roy, they pitch in and help take good care of it. It was looking beautiful. And if you went outside yesterday, you know that God gave us a beautiful day. I wasn't there. I was at the family reunion, but the family reunion of Streams of Hope and First Gaithersburg at 3110 Emory Church Road was blessed. So all of that's taking place, and all of that's a part of the merger processing piece. And so I just want to keep that out there as we think about what is God calling us to do and be as His people to bring about the kingdom of God in the Baltimore, Washington, Frederick triangle. I mean, what is it? How does He want us to get after it? And so the elders, when I first proposed to them the idea of taking this extended time in Brazil, they were so supportive from the get-go. And I'm just so thankful for a church family that would do that for me. I had times to worship in solitude. And there were times we worshiped with the brothers and sisters down in Brazil. Now, how many of y'all, the last time you've been to a Pentecostal church, now don't count the ones from Brazil who went to that baptism service, but you've been to a Pentecostal service in the past, 6 months. Oh, okay, so this is the church we built this year was for a Pentecostal congregation that has multi-site in a number of areas. They're reaching into poor neighborhoods. They do cooperate with other Baptists, with Baptists on a number of things. And so in the conversation, we felt like this was the right thing to do. And when we got there, and we're building that week, the head pastor of the main church, he says, "Now, I want you to come preach for me on Sunday night." And I said, well, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, okay, Pentecostal service, I'm going to be there 3 hours. I got to speak for an hour in Portuguese. And we're not talking about how you doing, tell me about your family life. We're talking about expositing the Word of God with a great deal of responsibility and people who need to be fed spiritually. It's not a game. It's not a look at my friend from America. He's here to talk. It's a preaching of the Word. So a lot of stress. I said, well, you know, I'm not really down here to preach. I'm down here to do a sabbatical and to help build this church. So, you know, I really appreciate it, and I'm happy to be at the service, but, you know, he said, okay, well, we'll look forward to hearing you Sunday night. So later that week, I turned to one of the Baptist pastors who's one of the coordinators. I said, look, you need to do me a favor. I need you to go back and talk to the pastor, and I need you to say, been observing, you know, Pastor Eddie's kind of losing his voice like he does every year on the construction site, all that translating, all that dust, and you know, he really didn't come down here to preach. So he's not going to be ready to preach Sunday night. And he'll bring a word of greeting from the American church. And then if you would just go ahead and preach, Pastor, that would be great. And the word I got back was, he said that was fine. So Saturday night, Callie goes over to visit. He has two teenage daughters, one a little older, one a little younger. Says, come bring her over. They're over there. And they're all talking about Pastor Eddie going to preach. We're so excited to hear your father preach the word tomorrow night. And so I get this text message, Daddy, I think you're preaching tomorrow for an hour in Portuguese. I stopped what I was doing, and I took my blue notebook here that I was doing all my study in, and I opened up, and I started about six pages from the back, and I just started, for the first time ever that I can remember, I actually wrote an entire sermon in Portuguese in my journal. And, I'm sitting there, God, I'm sure counting on some help because of course, my wife was helpful. She said, well, if you get hung up, just yell hallelujah and amen a few times. and that'll get everybody started, and that'll burn some time. I did appreciate that. It's truer than you know, The thing is, it's always special. It was a wonderful experience. I spoke on Matthew 14, where Jesus walks across the water to the disciples in the boat, who are terrified that they're out there in this storm. And the part that we often forget to mention, you remember why they were on the boat in the lake? Remember why? Because Jesus said, get in the boat and go over to the other side. So God got them into this mess. And he rescued them out of the mess, but not when they were ready for him to rescue them, but when he was ready to accomplish his purpose. And that's the sermon I preached. So today, as I thought about what to preach, I knew we wanted to preach about one another's and how we accept one another. And yet I heard this kind of thing still coming back to me, and I remember I always can count on Gail. Where are you, Sister Gail? My Sister Gail and Sister Molly. And there are several others, so they're not the only ones guilty. They come up and they say stuff. I always look forward to hearing from you after a vacation, Pastor. You come back with a fresh word from God, and you're excited. I'm sitting here thinking, I've been back 2 days. I still got jet lag. If I'd have been smart, I'd have said, Paula, preach one more sermon. And I thought, oh, I'm going to disappoint some people. And God bless, I had actually an elder and Pastor Paula both say to me this morning, Pastor, I hope you're not under pressure to preach this morning. I hope you just come back and be with your church family and share. And it's funny to me how God works out for both things to happen at the same time. Because as I looked at the one another's and I thought about this verse, can we put it back up, Clark? Put up the verse for today. Let's all say that verse together again after Clark gets it. Here we go. Let's say this together. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So here's one of the real keys of today's message. I want you to hear the main point. After I've given to you my sabbatical report, I need you to accept me for who I am. You might say, well, gee, Pastor, that's kind of a selfish message to deliver from the pulpit when you first get back. I need you to accept me for who I am. But see, but others of you aren't surprised because you're sitting there thinking, well, yeah, that's why I'm here too. Matter of fact, that's why people gather as God's people. God has accepted us as we are. Put that verse back up, brother. That's all I need is the verse. Otherwise, I might get lost. Accept one another. I'm sorry, where's this from? Yeah, Romans, which is part of the Bible, which we also refer to as the Word of God. So this is not just a sermon Pastor Eddie made up, you know, to kind of fill the time. Accept one another. What's our example? As Christ accepted you, because you are such lovely people. You are such winsome people. You get things right 99% of the time. You are just so lovely, God couldn't help himself. He loved you. Well, unfortunately, that's not what the rest of the Bible tells us and not what we know from living life, right? Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Romans 5:8, right? We know that God loves us, how God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners is what some versions of the Bible say. The word actually says, while we were at enmity, and if that sounds like enemy, it should, because it means we were acting like God's enemies. While we were yet at enmity with God, Christ died for us. That's how much God accepts you. That's how much God accepts me. So when I read the verse from Romans 15, how did Christ accept me? Well, when I was still at enmity with him, he accepted me and loved me. Well, then here's what I need to do. I need to back up to the first part of that verse. And here's the good news. I don't just love you when you send me on sabbatical. And I hope you don't just love me when I come back fresh and preach my best. Or if I come back and don't preach my best, that you don't love me any less. We need to accept one another just as Christ accepted us, which is not just on the basis of our character of what we've done, so good or bad, but how has Christ accepted us? Well, has he accepted us just for today or tomorrow? Or as long as we walk the straight and narrow, he still loves us? I have loved you. Let's hear it. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have accepted you with an everlasting acceptance. You say, oh, I'm not sure, Pastor, that that's the right translation. Well, all I'm doing is reading the Bible. The Bible says, I've got you in my hand. And what does he say? No one, nothing can pluck you out of my hand. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have accepted you into my own heart with an everlasting acceptance. So I want to say it's good to be accepted by you, to be your pastor, to be back with you. I'm looking forward to the month of August. It's going to be very, very busy. A lot's going to happen. Do plan to be with us on the 30th, because we'll not only have worship service and lunch, but then we'll have our annual meeting. And with all this reporting about the merger and kind of where we stand, both from a pastoral perspective, hearing from the Met, hearing from different teams, I'm looking forward to a longer report from Stacy about Vacation Bible School. A lot of good stuff to hear about. So come and celebrate with us. Come be a part of us. But in the meantime, I really want you thinking about this passage. Because as I shared in Brazil about where we were and requested prayer, and you can be at peace, brothers and sisters, you have hundreds of Brazilian believers who are on fire, who are praying for our church. They're praying for our church and our discussion of the merger. About it. They would say, what's your building like? You're down here building. How many have you built now, Pastor? Oh, about 23. Well, what's your church like? Well, we don't have a building right now. We've managed to build 6,000 miles away, but we don't have a building right now. And they said, oh my goodness, that's the heart of God. God bless you, Pastor. God has something special for you. I'm telling you, this is what people would say. I mean, from the garbage man who was in the church to the pastors of the church, that's how they would respond. If you have a heart to give without being focused on what I'm getting, God has something so great in store for you. I thought that was a great prophetic word. So church family, be at peace. But also hear this as a challenging word, because as I shared with them, they said, well, how's this merger thing going? I said, well, it's kind of interesting. I said, you know, we started by looking at this book, and we've talked about, is it possible to do? And the pastor said, yeah, we can pull it off. And now we've got this committee, and they're looking at the feasible thing, and they're saying, okay, there are like these 20 different topics. Let's make sure we've covered all the ground to do this thing right. But they seem pretty positive, and we're moving the thing forward. Well, what about the people in the churches? What are they feeling? I said, I think they're kind of nervous. I think they're kind of hesitant. Well, why, Pastor? I said, I don't know. I said, part of what I hear is I'm afraid about losing us. I'm afraid about losing our culture and all these things. Well, Pastor, you still going to preach the Bible? Yeah. Still going to make disciples? Yeah. Well, is the Spirit free to work? Do people want to know that the Holy Spirit is living in them and they want to say, yeah, in both churches? Yeah. They kind of do it different ways, but there are people in both churches doing this kind of stuff, you know? And we talked about 5 or 6. I'll be laying those out for you later. I actually have identified what I think are 7 real keys. But I just think here's where we're hung up right now is on the acceptance thing. So I just kind of want to put this challenge out to you on my first Sunday back, is that when you invite people into your home, you know, we say welcome. And, you know, we pride ourselves on a great hospitality ministry here at our church. Welcome people. But if you welcome people and leave them standing on the front porch, that welcome kind of had a limitation to it. It's preventing things from moving forward. If you invite them into the foyer of your house and you chat for a few minutes, but you don't really invite them in, you may have welcomed, and you may say, well, technically I've accepted them. I've let them come in out of the rain. You know, they're in my house. But I haven't welcomed them fully into my heart and my home. So I close with this word, and I ask you to join with me in saying it. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. And all God's people agreed and said, amen. Let's stand together. Pastor Paul is going to come give us a benediction. Good to be home, brothers and sisters.